Okay. I'm going to say a word to the sound man in the back. If I cough, hack, blow my nose, turn my microphone off. Top of that, he wasn't listening to what I just said, so. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And as we begin today, let's just have another word of prayer. I just want God to quiet our hearts and prepare us as we look into his word. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you and thank you for your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit would take charge today, that you might move in our hearts, that you'd draw each one of us just a little bit closer to yourself. Pray that you'd bring those things to my mind that I need to say and take those things out of my heart and mind, those things that I should not say. But above all else, that we might see Jesus today, that he might be magnified and glorified through everything. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you like getting gifts? Well, I put you all to sleep before I get started. You like getting gifts? Aren't they fun? I don't know that there's any gift that I've ever gotten or anything that I've ever wanted to say, no, I don't want it. And there's always those gifts you sort of like to sort of shake them a little bit. You look to see who it's from, and then you sort of shake, oh, this is going to be a good one, you know? Look at that. I always like, around Christmas time, I like to put a little box out under the tree, put Mary's name on it, and it's about 3 days before, and she can't stand it. She has to shake it, look at it, turn it upside down. Can I open it now? You know, it's just always one of those things. Talking about gifts and about Christmas, one of my favorite, my father's favorite time was Christmas. This is my mom and dad, by the way. They both are with the Lord now. They knew Christ as their personal Savior. They had a great life together. They enjoyed each other, and they had a tremendous time together. But my dad loved Christmas because he loved presents. He loved to open boxes. Everything he could get, he opened. He just loved it. And he had a special way of wrapping for Christmas presents, too, but that's a total different story. We had one Christmas as we were gathered together. It was shortly after Mary and I were married, and we got up Christmas morning. Dad loved Christmas, and we had a breakfast together, and then we had a brief word and some devotions from the Word of God. We prayed and talked together, and then we gathered in the living room, and our tradition has always been that we would set together, and there would be a little pile for each one of us, and we would sit in front of that pile, and we would open one gift at a time, and everybody would look at it and see what they got. And then, of course, as we gathered, Dad's pile was a little small this year, unassuming. Usually his is overflowing, and as we were opening our gifts, why, Dad's gifts were just little. They weren't too great, too big, some socks here. And usually Mom had some tools or something really great, but there wasn't too much there for Dad. And Mary got a little worried about that. She's a little upset about the whole thing because she knew how much Dad liked gifts. Well, we had gotten down to the very end, and Mom has one last gift, and she has a little box that she gets ready to give to Dad, and she hands it to them, and he begins to open that box. And as he opens the box, he gets it open, and what does he see but a box of Cracker Jacks. This guy that loves to open gifts gets a box of Cracker Jacks. Now, I didn't think they made them anymore until someone gave them out in junior church, but or Wired. But there's and you know, there's always a gift in the Cracker Jacks someplace. And if you open the box at the top, the gift is at the bottom. If you open the box at the bottom, the gift is at the top. So it doesn't matter what you do, you have to dig through the whole thing just to get to the gift. Well, Dad looked at it and his countenance dropped a little bit. You know, it wasn't really as happy as what he thought it would be, but he said, well, okay. So he, you know, opens the box and starts to dig down through to get that gift. And you know, if you've ever gotten a box of Cracker Jacks, the gift isn't really great. It's one of those plastic things that only lasts for a minute or two. They're gone, you know. So Dad digs down, and he gets down there, and he pulls this this gift out, this little toy out. And it's not a toy. It's a key. It's a key to a brand new car. That's why I didn't get too many gifts. You know, didn't know it, but Mom and Dad had been looking at a car and for him to go to work and everything. And Dad didn't know if he wanted to spend the money to buy the car. Mom shot it right there. She just went and bought it. She got the car. Greatest thing was, she talked the salesman in to bring in the car over the night before and put it in the garage. So there it was. We were in a little apartment upstairs, and downstairs was the garage, and there was the car in the garage. Dad couldn't wait to get down to see that car and to look at it. You know, he looked that car all over, and he walked around it. But you know the best thing? He drove it. Couldn't wait to get out there and drive that thing, go down the road and drive that. Boy, he enjoyed that. That was one of those things that he enjoyed for many, many years. It was a gift. God has given us gifts. He's given you a gift to use in his service. And the point is that we need to use the gifts that he gives. It doesn't do us any good if we don't use those gifts. In Ephesians, we begin to look at some of the things that God has given to us, and we notice the special gift that God gives. Verse 7, the gift is a spiritual gift. It's a special gift given by God for us to be used to serve God, to strengthen believers, to reach out to the world around us, and to glorify Christ. It's a gift that God has given every believer, and it's given to us by Christ. So every one of us has a special gift that God, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, he has a gift that is given you to be used in his service for him. And note, it's a gift of Christ. The last part of verse 7, it says, it's the gift of Christ. Christ gave that to you. Think about that. He's taken enough time to know you, to love you, and to give you something really special that you can use for him. Boy, what love. He really cares for us. He's really concerned about you. To be able to give you something that you can use for him. And it's special just for you. Now, how do we discover that gift? Sometimes, you know, people walk around and they take all sorts of tests to find out what's my gift. And they do this and they do that and all sorts of things. But, you know, I find out if we just serve God. If we just get busy in God's fellowship with God's people, his gift is evident. And what I found out is that usually the people around you will tell you what God's given to you. Sometimes you get so close to the forest you can't see the trees, you know? And yet people around you say, well, you're really good at that. You're really good at encouraging people. You're really good at this. You're really great at doing this type of thing. And so God gives it to us, but sometimes it takes people around us to sort of show us those things that God has given. Remember that the gift that God has given to us is not a toy, but it's a tool to be used in his service, to be used to draw people close to the Lord, to encourage folks. And God gives us that grace to use those gifts. And we see this in verse 7, that he gives us the grace. Whatever we need, God gives it to us in order to make that gift function in his for him. So he gives us whether we need strength, whether we need wisdom, whether we need courage, power, love. God gives us all of those things, gives us whatever we need to accomplish the gifts that he has given to us. And sometimes we need an extra dose of love just to care for people around us, just to do the thing that God wants us to do. But the amazing thing is, not only does he give us the gift, but he gives us that which we need in order to make that gift operate. We need to learn to be satisfied with the gift that God gives us. Once we know what God wants us to do and once he gives it to us, we just need to be satisfied with that. You see, he suits us just for that. It's just made for us. It's sort of like a suit of clothes. You know, you can tell when it really fits. It just fits right. Just really, really comfortable. It's just one of those things that it fits right. It just works for us. So, something like a tool. You ever seen a lug wrench? in case you haven't, that's what, ladies probably haven't seen one of those. You guys know what those are all about, don't you? You know, they put those in cars, the cheap cars, the expensive cars. They just expect you to tow them if you get a flat tire. But, you know, they put one of these little donuts in their tire, and they put one of those things in, and a little jack, so that you can take the little nuts off the tire so you can change tires. It calls lug nuts. Now, it's there for a purpose. You see, that's just all that it does. You stick that thing on there, and you loosen those nuts, and you take all those off, and you change the tire. That's the purpose. And see, God, it just does one thing. And that's what God does for us. He makes you to do just one thing. He's got that one special gift. Sometimes he's given people more than one gift, but you at least have one gift that God has given you that you can accomplish. And you know, sometimes we look at people and we see what they can do. We look at their gifts and we say, wow, I'd like to be able to do what they can do or what that person does. I would really like to be able to sort of minister in the areas that they're ministering, because they really look like they're doing a super job, and it really looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. God says, we just need to be happy with what we have. We need to be content with what God has given to us. God gave us just exactly what we need. Isn't it neat how he puts our personalities together, and he puts it together with the gift that he's given to you so that you can work that for his glory? God does that for us. He cares so much, and he does that because he loves us. You see, we're part of a family, and as part of that family, we need encouragement, we need strength, we need all sorts of things, and God gives us that ability to do all that. And he expects us to use those gifts, or the gift, whatever he's given you, not just let it sit on the shelf. You know, Dad had that car. Didn't do any good just sitting in a garage. Had to get out and use it. And that's what God expects us to do, is to use the gifts that he's given to us for his honor, for his glory. Now, talk about the gifts that he gives us. We have to notice that he has the right to give it to us. Notice this in verse 8. In verse 8 is sort of a picture of a conquering king. And the idea here is that this king is sitting on a white stallion. And he's about to walk through that triumphal arch that he's come home as one who has been victorious over all of his enemies. And as he goes through that arch, the citizens around him are applauding him. Thousands and thousands of those who are in his kingdom are there. And as he goes through the city, and as they're marching through the city, is what they used to do, is coming back being victorious, he'd find the king, and his army would follow behind him. And in that army, there would be some of those that had been captured, and now they're recaptured. They are freed by this king. The prisoners that have been once taken prison are now free, and they're freed by their own king. Behind the king and his army are those who have the look of defeat upon their face, because they are defeated. They've come to fight this mighty king. They've come to destroy the king and to subject all of those in his kingdom. And now they are defeated. And as they come before that mighty king, they bring gifts for him. And as they bring those gifts, the king takes those gifts and he gives them to those in his kingdom. He gives them away. Jesus has gone to war for us. He has become victorious. Sinners who were once held captive by sin and by Satan, the Lord has freed. Christ has freed the captive. All our enemies have been defeated. Death, loneliness, despair. God has given us victory over those. He conquered them to gain the right to save us and to give us gifts. In this great victorious celebration, the gifts that he gave to his people for his church. See, if you catch it, is that he's giving you a gift, or more than one gift, for his church, so that the church might be strong and might grow for him and might be a testimony for him. I want you to notice, though, the gift that he gives us cost a lot. The cost of liberation was great for Jesus. Notice in verse 9 it says that he ascended and descended. Well, first he descended. He came to this earth. He came here. He lived for some 33 years. He taught about his Father. He taught about a victorious life. He taught about freedom from sin. He talked about freedom in life. And then he died. He gave his life for us. And then he ascended into heaven, went up into heaven. Jesus paid a tremendous price. Stop to think about that for a moment. He left his home in glory. We read about heaven in God's word. We read about its beauty. We read about all the things that are there for us to enjoy and that one day we'll be with him. One of the exciting things is to see all the things that he has for us and all the things that will obviously surprise us when we get to God's heaven. But it's going to be great. No pain, no agony, no getting old, no colds. All those kind of things are gone, you know? God, in God's heaven, it's beautiful. It's a place to be desired. And that great, wonderful place that's to be desired, Jesus left it. Now, think for a moment. He didn't have to, but he left it. He left that beautiful home in heaven, that place that you and I want to get to one day. We want to be there one day. And Jesus left that for us. He left that beautiful heaven, and he left his Father. Think about this. And there's no time in eternity, so we don't know how long it's been, but forever, he was with his Father. He was there and having fellowship with his Father, and they enjoyed each other, and they enjoyed the company. You know what it's like when you've got a good friend and you just like being with them? You like just like being around them? It's fun. It's great. He and his Father were together forever. And he said, okay, I'll go. I know you've got a job for me to do, and I'll go. And the thing is, as Jesus left heaven and he came to earth, you know, we think about, okay, here's Christmas time. And Jesus comes and he's born and he's a little baby in a manger and we sing all the great songs and everything. But do we stop to think about Jesus when he came to this earth? Do you realize that he's God? And so he knows everything. And so when he left heaven, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him on this earth. Exactly, verbatim, when it was going to happen. And so he knew that he was going to die on the cross. But not only that, he knew the pain that he would go through. He was going to experience that. He knew that before he ever got here. He came anyway. What love. Can you imagine that? We do things sometimes out of impulse just because it's there, and so we jump in front of a car to save a kid. Don't think about it. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what people were going to say about him and that people were going to be against him, and they were going to hate him. They were going to spit at him. They were going to call him all sorts of nasty names. They were going to do really, really bad things for him, to him. And yet he knew he was the only one that could provide a perfect sacrifice for you and for me. No one else could do that. And so Jesus was willing to come. Have you ever thought about the real cost that Jesus paid for you? Do you really care? What love. Maybe some of you have never come to the realization of needing a Savior. Maybe you've been living in despair, desperation, depression, discouragement. All those things happen to us. You just can't seem to get out of it. Can't crawl out of that hole. You just can't get out of it. But let me tell you, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. He's the one that will give you freedom. And here's how you can come to know Jesus. The first thing we need to do is to admit that we are sinners. Romans, it tells us that we have all sinned, that we have done wrong, that we're not good in and of ourselves. That's why Jesus had to die, because we're sinners. And we can't save ourselves. Once we realize that we're sinners, we need to believe what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God turned his love towards us." It's hard for me to imagine that the God of this universe would love me. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're not good in and of ourselves. And yet, God loves us. And he said, even when we didn't love him, even when we didn't think about him, he still loves us. And he was willing to come to this earth and to give himself so that we could be with him for that, in that glorious heaven forever and ever and ever. Boy, what love. And he did all of that for you and for me. There's nothing we could do. We can't save ourselves. We can't pay enough money. We can't be good enough. We can't do good enough things. And so because he's done all of that, there is something we have to do. We just have to call on him to save us. Romans 10:13 tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask him. He doesn't ask you to conquer mountains, doesn't ask you to fight, doesn't ask you to give, doesn't ask you to do anything. He just says, ask. Just come and ask, and I'll give you salvation. I'll give you assurance that you can be with me forever and ever and ever in eternity. What love. And that begins a new life, my friend. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that begins a new life. Now, it won't be all roses. That's obvious, because we live in a world today that's filled with sin. And yet, he'll be there to direct you. He'll be there to help you. He'll be there to carry you through. When you get in tough situations, he doesn't always promise that he'll take us around it, that we can go around it, but he says, I'll be with you when you go through it. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll be the person, I'll be the one there to strengthen you and to help you. Just be faithful. Verse 10, we notice Jesus' exaltation. He ascended. Notice what it says in verse 10, that he ascends up far above the heavens. That's his rightful place. He goes far above the universe and takes his place, because that's where he rules and reigns. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He rules and reigns over everything. You got the idea? We have a little world here. I always like that Lou Giglio thing where they show us the worlds and sort of the earth is real small, and then they work their way up, and so the great things and the galaxies and all the things. And you know, when I look at that, it just amazes me. How great God is. I mean, put all that together. He made all that. And yet he cares about us. He rules all over all of that. Notice it says that and that he might fill all things. He does. He fulfills all things. He's there to control all things. That's his. And that's his position that he has taken. That's the position that he has of authority. He's sovereign over the universe. Sovereign means he can just do anything he wants to do. And he does. He's in control. And so because he is in control, he has the right to give gifts. He has the right to take care of his servants. Notice Christ's gifts in verse 11. Gifts are given, first of all, by Christ. And you'll notice that in verse 7 and verse 11. Verse 7, I mentioned it already. It says the gifts of Christ. Verse 11, it says, and he gave. And so notice that he gave. Christ gives those things. And it's not something that we work for. It's not something that we endeavor. It's not something that we go after. It's not something that we can get our own. It's not something we can pay for. It's Christ who has given these special gifts or gift to men, to individuals, to people, to all of us. He's given it to us. Every Christian has at least one gift. And that one gift, Jesus Christ has given it to us. Your responsibility is to discover that gift and then use that gift. Just like Dad's car. It looked beautiful in the garage, but he had to drive it. He had to use it to make it worthwhile. And that's the same thing with us. We need to use the gift that God has given to us in his service. Now, he's given, as I said, given gifts, given individual gifts for the church. And so here we see some of those gifts in verse 11. I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to go in depth, but just let me mention them. Is that first of all, apostles. And that's that basically means an ambassador, one who's been sent. The apostles received revelation. That's before the scriptures were written. So they received revelation from God, and they preached that. With the completion of the New Testament, they're no longer needed. Then we have prophets. They speak or proclaim the word of God, tell forth the word of God. They, again, with the completion of revelation, they're no longer necessary for today. Then evangelists, carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what they're supposed to do. To just take God's word and go out and preach it. And that's what some people do. They just are evangelistic. They just can't wait to give out the gospel and to talk to people. And we've seen many, many folks that do that. Pastors, shepherds, caring for their sheep. Pastor takes care of his, and you know, the pastor just takes care of his sheep and watches over them. And that's sometimes, you know, pastor's got to make some decisions that not everybody likes. There are some, we had some folks come in here, not folks, we had a person come in here one time just fleecing our congregation. Pastor had to say, you can't come anymore because we got kind people that want to give as much as they can, but you're taking advantage of them. So pastor's there to protect his people, to love them, to guide them kindly and lovingly and sort of shape them along the way, to keep them on the right path. God's got pastors and teachers. Can be a pastor teacher, it can be just teachers, those who instruct believers in God's truths. Give out God's word so that you might understand it and apply it to your life. Now, we look at those, and that's just one verse. But throughout the scriptures, there are a number of verses that talk about gifts or gift that God gives. And let me just mention some of those. In fact, I'll just give them to you, and then you can look them up later. I'll mention some later, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and then 27 through 31. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 9, and then, of course, Ephesians 4, 11. Here are some, in these passages, there are some specific gifts that he mentions. One of them is the gift of administration, services, different kinds of just administrating, of giving in God's work. Discerning spirits, knowing the message of God and the truth of God's word. There are some people that, as they study God's word, they can tell real quick when someone's not right, when they're not teaching the word of God, when they're not saying the right things, when it's not true to God's word. God's given a special gift. Ministries of helps and serving, helping others. There's so many folks of just ministering and helps. We have folks that set up tables for communion, for funeral services. Ladies who bring food in. Ladies who serve, people who are there. What a ministry of helps. People who go and who are in dire need, but just hurting. And so it's a ministry to them just so that they don't have to have people in their home. They can have a meal here and just be an encouragement. There's helpers in so many different areas, just in the nurseries in the back and the teachers, as we just need helpers. And people are just there saying, what can I do? How can I help? Teachers, exhorting, encouraging one another. There are people that are just encouragers. I was coming in a little bit late today and sort of running back and forth. And you know when you're just doing things, your face has sort of a blank look on it, you know? And had someone come up and just put their arm and said, it'll be okay. It's fine. I never needed that little encouragement because every time Pastor goes on vacation, I wonder what's going to happen. And everything happens, whether you realize it or not. Things went smooth this morning, but everything didn't go smooth getting here. And there's a lot of things take place. Just a word of encouragement. We never know who needs just a little word, just a little pat in the back. And that's a gift that God gives us. As we look at the people around us and we're sensitive to their needs and where they are. Giving is another one, just being generous. I've known some people that can't speak, couldn't say a word. But man, God's given them the ability to make money, and so they just give it. They give it in God's service, and they give it in different areas in God's for that have needs in God's service. It's just a special thing that God's given someone the ability to do that. I had a person I knew that they just would not speak in front of anybody. And yet God had blessed them with a lot of finances, and they supported so many different missionaries and ministries in their church and encouraged people with just their giving. So that's a thing that God has for us. Showing mercy, just being merciful and showing kindness to other folks. These are just samples of what God has given us and gifts that God gives. So what can you do? What's the gift that God has given to you? Whatever it is, you need to do that and do it well for Him. You use it in God's service, for God's people and for God's church. Jesus has a purpose for everything He does. He gives us abilities, and He gives us those abilities not for us just to sit around, but to use them. Use those things for His honor and for His glory, to touch people around us. If you don't use the gifts that God has given to you, the whole body of believers suffer. And see, it's amazing that God has put us all together, and He's given each one of you different abilities, different gifts. And He expects us to use it collectively for the church, so the church might move forward. And you see, if you don't use it, then we all hurt. Jesus brought us together, and He gave us these different abilities so that the body would grow. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, different kinds of service. And that's just what we have. A whole bunch of different kinds of service. God's got a purpose for the gifts in verses 12 and 13. Before we can do a job, we need to be ready for that job. And so there's so many different things that need to take place before we can actually do that job. Sometimes we need an instruction manual to help us. We got God's Word. I had bought a car. It's a new car to me. It was someone else's car, but it worked for me. And you get the thing and you start reading the manual and you start looking at the thing and say, how can I use this thing? And I couldn't get the trunk open. I mean, I looked at that thing. You know, there's usually a key in the back of the trunk. You stick it back there and it opens, or there's something, couldn't get it open. I looked at that thing and so I finally gave up and got the instruction, the owner's manual. I looked at it, and sure enough, in the back, there's this little dot about like that. It's black and it's right in with the core, and you just punch that and the trunk comes open. It's amazing. But, those are the little things that you sort of have to read, and you have to read that manual. And then there's some cases where you have to really prepare. If you're going to get in God's service, you got to get things ready. I had around the house, I had some brick molding. That's two posts at the sides of the door for you ladies. I had to learn that myself. But anyway, they needed to be replaced. So a friend of mine came to help me. And I thought, okay, this will be simple. We'll be done in a couple of minutes. Well, he showed up with a trailer full of saws and levels and hammers. And I mean, just all sorts of stuff to get the thing done. Just needed a bunch of equipment, a bunch of tools. And sometimes it takes more to get ready to do the job than to actually do the job. But that's what God has for us. He has each one of us. We need to prepare to use what He's given to us. And for some of us, it's going to take a little bit longer than for others. For some of us, it means maybe going to school to hone those gifts that God has given you, to make them effective so that you might work really in His service. For some of you, maybe it's going to college or going to a trade school to just hone that gift and get it ready so that in God's service, you're going to be efficient, you'll be effective for Him. Then we have to work. Once we get that where it needs to be and we know what gift we have, then we need to use it in the ministry. You need to work. Sometimes, I say work, and sometimes that's a bad word. People don't necessarily like the word work. But when you're having fun, it's not really work, is it? You're really doing something you really enjoy, then it's not work. I look around and see some guys, and I know some of their hobbies, and they enjoy doing it. And it's just really fun. And they enjoy telling other people how to do it. You see, when God calls you to do something and he gives you a special gift, it's something that you'll enjoy doing, something that you're able to do it. And he selects that it's going to be fun. And it may be something, maybe you're teaching somebody that you've already learned how to do something. You're teaching, you're showing them something. Or maybe some instruction, maybe just some helping. Or ladies, maybe it's just baking and showing some people how to bake or how to do a better job with that. Or maybe it's just listening. Sometimes that's really difficult for us to do, isn't it? We'd rather talk than listen. But sometimes that's just a fantastic gift of just being able to sit still and to listen. The work is using the gifts that God has given to us and to use them in his service. God has given us the gift to build up the body and to help us. And by giving those gifts to make that body stronger and firmer. So using those gifts might involve other people in the ministry. And sometimes as we do that, we all become teachers. As we teach someone else some of the things that God has taught us and some of those mistakes we make, we like to encourage people so that they will go around those mistakes and not make some of the same things that we've done. It takes every one of us to use our gifts so that the body of Christ might be stronger. Sometimes people like to take a vacation. And they say, oh, well, I just will drop out for a while. No one's going to miss me. Yeah. When you drop out, you're not using what God's given to you. You're hurting everybody. You hurt the body of Christ. We're here for a purpose, to work together, and you're needed. See, no one's going to miss me. Yeah, they'll miss you. No one will miss me if I skip for a couple weeks. If I take the summer off, that's okay. They'll catch me in September. Yeah, but we'll be hurting all through summer because you're not here, because you're not ministering the way you ought to be. You're not doing what God's called you to do. We work to accomplish what Paul calls unity of the faith or unity in the body. We band together with the truth of God's word. See, it takes God's word, gives us direction, the things that we need to do. We find truth in God's word. Today we look for truth. Remember Pilate said, what is truth? People want truth today. They want truth. And the only place we're going to find truth is in God's word. See, God never changes, so we can count on him. He's always there. And whatever he says to start with, he'll follow through. He doesn't change the rules in the middle of the game. As a kid, we had you like to go out and play a little softball, a little baseball in the backyard. And there's always one kid that had the ball in the bat. The rest of us had sticks, but he had the ball in the bat. And he changed the rules every time. He'd get up, he'd get five outs. Never struck out. Never tag him out. Changed the rules. But God doesn't change the rules. We know exactly what to expect from God. So we draw around God's word that draws us closer to each other, and we build unity. As we pull together in God's word, we get to know him better. We find that in verse 13, the second part of verse 13, knowing the Son of God. And as we know more about God's word, we know more about him, and we know about him, we get to know him. And to know him better, to have a personal relationship with him. He needs to be part of our life. Not just that part where we pray before we eat and pray before we go to bed, but he needs to be integrated into each part of our lives, of everything we do and say, of every place we go, every decision we make. He needs to be there. Is he in your life? I mean, has he intervened in your life? Can you tell that God is there and that he's working in you? Does he do things for you every day? Does he teach you? Does he lead you every way? See, we need to form a relationship with Jesus Christ. One that's more than one who just gives gifts, but one who directs our lives and that we live for throughout every aspect of our lives. When we cultivate a real relationship with him, we become spiritually mature. We see this in verse 13, the last part of that verse. And it simply means that we must grow together to mature. we grow up. He wants us to be more Christ-like in our lives and everything we do and say. Christ desires, God desires that we become more like his son, Jesus Christ, and that we show that same light, that same love that Jesus showed to those people around him, even those people that treated him wrongly, even those people that were rude to him, even those people that killed him, he still loved them. And he died. Even though people hated him and looked on him terribly, yet he died for them and died for us. What love and what compassion. And then I think of Jesus. As the more I study, the more I realize that as Jesus was here, he had a goal, a job, a place, a thing to accomplish, and that was his Father's will. He says, I've come to do my Father's will. He had a purpose. And you see, that's what God wants us to be like a son as we fulfill the things that God wants us to do, as we look at our responsibility as to take the gift that God has given us and use it for him, to be faithful to him, to keep our eyes on Jesus and off of those around us. Sometimes we look at other people and we want what they have, and Jesus said, just take what I've given you and use it. Use it for the unity of the body. Do what it takes to keep unity within the body of Jesus Christ. Use that special gift that I've given to you to pull people together and to encourage folks that we might serve him, and just do whatever it takes, and then just do it. Sometimes we wait long and we wait around, but God says we need. And you know, the thing is, when God tells us to do something, we don't always see what he wants us to do. It's sort of like a big jigsaw puzzle. You know, you got all these pieces in front of you and you're trying to put all these things together, and God says, don't worry about all those pieces. I'll take care of all that stuff. You just take care of that one piece that you got, and you put that right there where it's supposed to be, and I'll put everything else in place. Just do your job. Just do what I told you to do. See, we need to understand the gifts that God has given to us and to use those gifts and to be content with what God's given to us. Results of that is that we find stability in verse 14. We no longer are immature, but we are and no longer stray from the fact, as the winds of adversity toss all around us, and the doctrine of different winds comes, we're still strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would want to cheat us and take our faith from us, and so you just be careful of those people. They'll give you things that don't sound right and aren't right, and they'll destroy you. And he talks about the next thing, using our gifts properly, is that we might speak love and truth. Sounds simple, doesn't it? We always give people the chapter and verse of what they should do, but then we never temper with love. Remember, when we talk to people, to talk with them in love. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can help somebody, but you need to help them with love and care. The last result of using the right spiritual gift is cooperation, unity in the body. The body grows together as a whole body. We have the joints, the ligaments, the tendons, the nerves, the muscles, all those things. They work together to make this body to move and twist and do all the things it's supposed to be. We get older, it doesn't twist like it should. But, you know, it works. And that's the same thing with the body of Christ. That we need to be pulled together as we need to function together as we use the gifts that God gives us. We function together and we begin productive and we produce the things that God wants us to do. And as we do those things, as we use those things, we need to do it in love and care. So the question is, are you using your gift for the body of Christ? Are you using what God has given to you for his glory? Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity of just coming before you today. We pray that you might use your word to touch our hearts and to draw us closer to yourself. God has a purpose, a design for everything. He designed the universe that it might work together in harmony. He created the world and gave it everything it needs. He created the body of believers, the church, to influence the world around him. And he's given each person in that body a gift, a special gift, a gift. And if you don't use it, if you don't use your gift, the church will suffer. You may think, I'm not important. I'm so unimportant. And yet God says everybody is important in his service. God gave you a gift. Are you using it for him? Would you say, Pastor, I really haven't been using the gifts that God's given to me. And in your closing prayer, would you just pray for me? And you'd say just by raising your hand, Pastor, pray for me. I've not been using the gifts that God wants me to use. And I really want to use them in a service. Yes, I see that hand. Somebody else. I want to use what God's given to me. I'm having a hard time figuring out, but I'm going to use it. I'll use what God's given to me. Maybe someone else. Maybe God's just touched your heart and you'd say, Pastor, pray for me in the closing prayer. I just need God's guidance in my life and I wish you'd pray for me. And you'd say that by just lifting your hand. Anyone at all? Yeah, someone else. Yes, someone else. Yeah, someone else. Yes, yeah. God's got burdens. Someone else. Yes, yes. Before you can have that special gift from God, you have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never received Him, if you've never asked Christ in your life, would you like to do that right now? You need to say, Pastor, would you pray for me in the closing prayer? I've never received Christ as my personal Savior, but I'd like to, and I wish that you'd pray for me today. Anyone at all like that? If you just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Stand with me, if you would, as the pianist plays the invitation hymn. God's touched your heart. You need to bow at the altar and come and just release, let go. Let God know that you're here for Him. Let's pray as we close our eyes and bow our heads. God's touched your heart. You need to move. Now's the time to move. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your care towards us. Thank you for the way you work in our lives. Thank you for the gift that you've given to each one of us. We pray we might be faithful in serving you and putting to use that which you've given to us so we might serve you better and so that your word might go forth. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory for all that you do in Jesus' name.